listeners, my name is Arusha Veed, and you're listening to the Slice of Orange, North Orange County podcast. Slice of Orange is a podcast that dissects politics in North Orange County. This election season, our team will interview candidates on NOC's ballot, explain propositions and ballot measures, and discuss general election trends. Our goal is to increase civic knowledge in the public and introduce you to ways of getting involved. My name is Arusha Veed, and I am your host for the day. Today we have Anjali Tapadia and James Kim, volunteer organizers with the Save WOW group, with us on the podcast, and we are going to be discussing the Walk on Wilshire and why this group wants it to stay and why City Council does not. So let's just go ahead and jump right in. Let's first start with introductions. So Anjali, can you tell me a little bit about yourself, what this group is, and how it came about?
Sure. So I'm a resident of Fullerton. In my spare time, I do a lot of advocacy for bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure. Our group began right after the July 2024 City Council vote, where the Walk on Wilshire pedestrianized area in downtown Fullerton was almost shut down at a City Council meeting. It is a beloved space. It was opened up during COVID, closed down to cars, and it now sees a lot of outdoor dining at restaurants, pedestrian activity, community activity. And all the folks in our group, I guess, were all sort of disappointed by the fact that Walk on Wilshire was almost shut down. So our group came out of that. We got together. We said, we have to do something about this. We were all strangers before July, and then we have created this amazing group of community organizers. We are advocating to keep the Walk on Wilshire as it is. We're advocating to keep it permanent year-round and permanently pedestrianized. We're basically just collecting petition signatures from the general public. We're collecting the opinions of local business owners. Our goal is to support local businesses, which make Fullerton unique, as well as demonstrate the overwhelming public opinion in support of the Walk on Wilshire to City Council. City Council is going to re-vote on the topic on October 15th, and we are hoping to show them that the general public loves the space and wants to see it stay.
Thank you for that, Anjali. James, can I also have you introduce yourself and how you got involved in this group?
Absolutely. My name is James Kim. I'm a Fullerton resident, and I grew up in Orange County. And one of the main reasons why I moved to Fullerton a couple years ago was because Fullerton is a walkable community. It is transit-oriented. We have the train station. We have this historic downtown. And as Anjali said, many of us got together because we heard that the City Council was going to be voting on it again. And it turns out that they actually almost got rid of it in the July meeting. There was a moment, kind of a tense moment, where it looked like immediately the next day they were going to begin getting rid of the space, kind of converting it back to a normal street, removing the outdoor parking spaces. And that was just something that was kind of horrifying. And so, as Anjali mentioned, a group of us got together. We had heard about it. We reached out to each other on whether it was on Reddit or over Facebook. And honestly, it includes folks of all ages. We've had folks volunteering with us who are retired, who have had a whole career ahead of them and really have gotten involved and been making public comment with us. We've also met a lot of students who, when we tell them that these spaces might be taken away, they're also horrified, right? Since we have so many Fullerton College and Cal State Fullerton students who come downtown and are specifically on that Walk on Wilshire space and love the coffee shops and other stores nearby. And so, you know, we really came together because we believe that places like Walk on Wilshire on Fullerton are what make Fullerton special. It what makes this downtown something different from the rest of a lot of Southern California. And we are really fighting desperately to keep it. And we've really been heartened because at this point, we've spoken to, honestly, almost 2,000 people throughout the city in just the course of a few weeks. Again, all on volunteer time. And I would say, honestly, over 95%, if not more, of folks are horrified to learn that the city might take take it away. Often now, after doing it for a couple months, we often meet people who have heard about it. They are ready to sign the petition. They're excited that they see us and they say, I heard about this. I can't believe the city is going to do this. And I think that's one of the reasons why we've continued to put in our volunteer time, put in our efforts to really work with residents, work with businesses, to try to convince the city, please keep this space. There's so much potential for it to be even better. And we really like to see Fullerton be able to continue have to things like Walken Wilshire.
Great, thank you for that explanation. So you already touched on this a little bit. It's the petition, the talking to residents. I want you guys to kind of elaborate on that a little bit more. Like, what has that process been like for you, the signature gathering, the talking to residents, talking to business owners? What is everyone saying about Walken Wilshire? How they use that street, how it benefits their business or benefits their community? And what's kind of the general sense you're getting from Fullertonians really about the space?
Yeah. James, do you want to start with this one?
Sure. Absolutely. So I think when we first gathered, we realized that there was a lot of energy. And even on Facebook, we had seen some comments of residents asking us, what can we do? So we decided to actually start a petition on, a Google Form petition and really help spread the word that this was happening. And so actually for the entire month of August, we had a booth, a tabling booth at the downtown Fullerton Market on Thursday nights. We also spread the word via social media and really just started gathering signatures. We were really excited because we put in some time at each of those evenings to meet people in person, spread the word. And we actually found that, yes, we gathered in-person signatures, but people were actually going home and telling their neighbors, telling their family, telling their friends, hey, make sure you sign this petition. So we actually got a large number of online signatures during, odd hours of the day, definitely not times that we were tabling, that was really telling us that this was really getting spread around. We've also since then done some tabling events, some flyering events, and really, the traditional clipboard, being there on the Walken Wilshire, explaining to folks that this beloved space might be taken away, to gather more and more signatures over time. And so at this point, we have over 1,600 signatures, and that includes folks from all over Fullerton, right? There's a kind of a mistaken belief that this space only benefits people living nearby, but actually, we found that people from all over Fullerton, and not only that, from the surrounding cities, from Placentia, from La Habra, from Anaheim, they come to downtown Fullerton because it's a special place, and they specifically love Walken Wilshire. It's a big reason why they spend their time here, why they might visit coffee shops, go shopping, go thrift shopping, right? And so we were able to gather all those signatures. That petition is still open online, and really, kind of help spread the word and really show the city council this is really unanimously popular among residents. And to be honest, the city council already knew that even in July. They had put out their own city survey that had over 85% support or neutrality, at least, for keeping the space from residents. And so it's something that we are just reiterating and really gathering those folks and really encouraging folks, too, to also go through their avenues of reaching out to city council, attending city council meetings, being part of this public process to really express that they want to keep this space. And I'll pass it off to Anjali, too, if she wants to talk about the business strategy.
Thank you. So before that, just to add to what Mark was saying, this has been one of those projects where, sometimes you do petitions and you have to sell it to people. You have to give some explanation of what's going on. People say, oh, I don't know. I'll think about it. Let me go home and read a little bit more about this issue. This, though, was something that sold itself. We had a booth at, the farmer's market, like Mark was, like James was talking about, and all we had was a banner that said Safe Walken Wilshire. And people came up to us and approached us and said, oh my goodness, what's happening with the Walken Wilshire? Don't tell me they're trying to get rid of it. This was an issue that sold itself to people. People really, really cared. I can count on one hand the number among the thousands, number of people who didn't want it, who said that, no, we're not interested in this. Everybody unanimously loves this project. And so, I mean, yes, we as a group believe in this, but really we're just reflecting the opinions of local residents who really want it to stay, and we're just supporting what they want. It seems like a no-brainer. For business outreach, James, you can probably augment what I'm going to say, but for business outreach, we've also found overwhelming support among businesses. There's been a few businesses that that don't support it, and it's usually attributed to parking or the ability of people to find those businesses. But generally speaking, businesses also support the Walk on Wilshire because they say that the increased foot traffic helps people to find their businesses. It encourages people to linger in the area. And what we're finding is that studies actually support this idea that when you pedestrianize a space, you get increased retail revenue because people are walking around and they find businesses instead of just driving through strictly to their destination and then getting into their car and driving back home. And I'm going to see if I can get our statistics here. James, do you have our statistics? Pardon me, our statistics on hand to share here?
I can share some of those. I think they're even changing. We're still doing ongoing outreach, especially, you know, we're ramping up leading up to the vote. I think at this point we will have reached out to a good maybe around 75 businesses and had personal conversations or email exchanges with at least 40 or 50 of them. Look, you know, local business owners, they're busy, right? It's not always easy to get a hold of someone, or you show up and they're in the middle of their busy, they're running a restaurant, they're running a business. But we did take the time. Something very important to us was actually doing a lot of in-person outreach. And so members of our organization actually went door to door to these businesses downtown to ask them what they thought about the space. Had they heard about it? How was it impacting their businesses? And we did find that out of those, you know, let's say 50 so far that we've reached out to, I think almost 30 or 40 of them would say that they support the space. There's another handful who are neutral. It really is only about 6 or 7 businesses that we've heard from who are skeptical or oppositional to keeping the space. And we can definitely talk about more of those concerns. And really, we went to go reach out to them because we wanted to hear about what they were saying, right? We knew that the residents really loved it, but ultimately we want to make sure that downtown Fullerton thrives. And a lot of that has to do with our local small businesses, right? Fullerton is a unique place because we do actually have so many locally owned small businesses providing unique services, right? It's not just a bunch of box stores. It's not a bunch of corporate owned stores. We really have unique businesses here. And so when we spoke with them, we heard about, you know, them hearing that, oh, well, I really love Walk on Wilshire, or I'm not on the Walk on Wilshire, but I would really love for that to expand, right? I'd love for that to be expanded to other parts of downtown so we have more pedestrian traffic. Or can we find other ways to make it benefit even more businesses that are not just on the space, right? We talked to them about hosting night markets and events and even ways in which that the city can encourage folks to, you know, have better signage so people are aware of all the businesses downtown when they show up to that central square, which is the Walk on Wilshire. And so doing that, you know, door-to-door outreach, we've spoken to so many folks. We also have been gathering testimony via email to a lot of local businesses. Those conversations have been really helpful for us because it impacts in part what demands or what asks we are looking for from the city council, right? I think something we really want to elevate is that the city, there's so much more that the city can be doing to really promote businesses, right? We heard from some of the opposing businesses that they feel like, oh, this might be taking away our traffic, or, you know, nobody knows that I exist, right? Well, there's a lot of solutions to that that can really benefit everyone. That doesn't have to be taking away the space. It could be better signage. It could be better wayfinding. There could be ways to really promote these businesses through, you know, promotions and other things like that the city can put on at a fairly low cost, right? That would actually be really good for the city, increase our tax revenues from sales tax, right? There's a lot of things that there's potential for, and we are really gathering all those ideas and really hope that the city council will take it seriously, you know, because we're really worried that by removing the walk on Wilshire so quickly and removing it and simply saying, you know what, we heard a few folks don't like it, you know, it doesn't matter if it hurts anyone else, right? That's not the way to go. And there's so much we could do with that space that we've already invested in as a city to really make it work for everyone.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, James and Anjali, for explaining your efforts as a group to save Walk on Wilshire. Now I want to ask, you know, it seems like from the work that you both have been doing and your group has been doing, residents are for it, businesses are for it, let's say there's a few, then why, you have already touched on this, but why is city council so against it? Why, you know, did they almost get rid of it in the July meeting? And why are we, you know, discussing this constantly if, you know, see, if people support it so much unanimously, like, and you may not have answers for these, but, you know, what are the speculations?
Yeah, that's a hard question to answer. And we'll just mention not all of city council is against it. A couple of city council members do support the space. One of them has recused himself due to potential for conflict of interest. For the others, it's really hard for us to understand what the opposition might be. We could speculate about the rationalization, but I'm personally not really sure just because of the overwhelming amount of public support that the space has gotten. I don't know, James, do you have any thoughts on why this might be?
Yeah, I can at least share something about some of their public statements that they've shared during council meetings, right? One of the city council members has expressed that it is his opinion that it might be an overreach for government and for local government to create spaces like the Walk on Wilshire. I think that's an interesting opinion. And considering that, you know, cities as local jurisdictions do have purview over their land use, especially this is city land, right? This is not the street itself, just like our parks, just like some of the other city-owned spaces. That space right there is 100% in the purview of the city to decide how they're going to use it, right? Including, you know, how they're going to pave it, how they're going to, you know, what furniture they might put out, right? Even back when it was a street, their decisions on how to paint the parking spots, those are all within the purview of our city, our planning department, our public works department. That's how they created Walk on Wilshire to begin with. And there are actually total flexibilities there that the city can look into. Obviously, there are some processes to follow, but there is a reason why there are other places throughout California that have made their permanent closures or walking paths or other things. There are even other areas downtown that the city has been looking into creating permanent closures. So it is well within their purview. For instance, the Fox Theater development that the city, I think, unanimously passed earlier, either this year or last year, includes the closure of a street almost identical to the way that Walk on Wilshire has been closed. And they're intending to have permanent furniture there. So it is absolutely within the city's purview, regardless of this city council member's opinion or what he has stated. And so I think, remember that, you know, it's also the city council's responsibility to promote our businesses, to promote public health and well-being. And it is one, you know, especially for a topic that you have such unanimous support, there's definitely avenues and decisions that the city council can make, including keeping the space permanent. Some of the other feedback that we've gotten from the city council members, and again, as Anjali mentioned, we have two members who are actually quite supportive of the space. And then we have two that I think are a little bit more skeptical. And one of them I just spoke about. The other one has actually, you know, been of mixed opinion on this in public statements. I will note that when the city council decided to actually make the space and launch the space a couple years ago and then renew it, right? Because this has been a multi-year project that has been renewed at least one time. During those votes, that city council member actually indicated that they thought that this was beneficial for the city, beneficial for businesses, right? And now I think hearing some of the concerns of those businesses that we spoke about, maybe understandably, they want to make sure that they understand and hear these businesses' concerns. concerns, right? If I were a city council member, I also would want to be very concerned about, oh, businesses are saying this is hurting them. I want to learn more, right? And that's part of the reason why we also have been doing all that business outreach. We're hoping to give them more information. And the information that we have gathered over speaking with dozens of businesses and so many residents is that overall, this is something that folks want to keep. And that includes both businesses and residents. And there are so many other solutions that we can still employ to really help and serve those other businesses who have been having concerns about their revenue, about whether or not folks are finding them. We can solve those through additional means as well, right? And so there's a yes and here. We really want to support businesses. And so we're really hoping that by doing all of this work, we kind of can inspire that city council to see, wait a second, there's actually more we can do here. We don't immediately have to throw out this beloved project. We can find solutions together. And, you know, we're volunteers here. We're doing this because we care about downtown and truly care about all these businesses, because we know that's what the heart of downtown Fullerton is, right? So we're hoping that the city council will, think about this further and really make the right decision to keep it.
Yeah, I totally agree. To add to something that I think you alluded to a moment ago, one of the criticisms that we have heard regarding the Walk on Wilshire is that it's not fully beautified yet. It's closed down, and the city has made a lot of improvements over the years. But it still could use some lighting. It could still use public seating, some beautification measures. And so that's one of the criticisms that we've heard. Okay, well, it's not super pretty, and doesn't look like Santa Barbara yet. To which we say, well, we've already come so far. The city has spent something close to $100,000 to, do various things like put in bollards and put in bike sensors because it's on the bike boulevard, things like that, and beautify the space. Let's not take all of that out and get rid of the investments that we've made, the infrastructure improvements that we've done. Let's, just spend a small amount of additional money to get it beautified. Put in some planters, put in some lights, really make it a beautiful promenade, because we're almost there. We're almost there. I don't really see the incomplete nature of it as a reason to shut it down. It seems like it wouldn't take a lot to kind of finish off the project. Mm-hmm. Another criticism that we've heard is, well, restaurants must not like it because not all of them have invested in the parklets. There's a couple of businesses that have moved in that direction. There's one that has a parklet that's fully built out, parklet meaning like that small area where they have their outdoor seating. The problem is that the city itself has not made the space permanent. It's a pilot project, and it still has to be re-extended by city council vote every 18 months. And in that kind of context, it's hard for a small business owner to justify the investment of maybe, potentially $20,000 to $40,000 for a parklet if the project could just be taken away at any time. So instead, what we advocate for is, make it permanent. That way, more restaurants would be willing to invest. So I think that the criticism of, restaurants haven't invested in parklets is a little bit of it's kind of misleading. It is not recognizing that the city itself has not created the stability that local business owners need in order to create a thriving parklet. And so for some of the city council members to say, we need to cater to a couple of businesses who are complaining, well, I don't understand why they're catering to a couple of businesses, but also negatively impacting other businesses. It's kind of inconsistent in my mind.
And Sarah, if I may just add on one more thing, some of the ideas of what we could do to further beautify the space and add more furniture, right? Some folks may ask, well, how would we pay for that, right? Well, actually, something we want to remind folks, and including the folks who, might say, we maybe could take this away, is that the Walk on Wilshire itself is actually now providing revenue for the city. Those parklets, the outdoor dining spaces that are on the Walk on Wilshire, are actually, those business owners are currently paying rent or permits to the city in order to operate those spaces. And I think the city has estimated so far, even without the parklets not fully built out, and again, Anjali, as Anjali mentioned, we have businesses that have actually, one of the businesses told us they've literally hired architects and created a whole plan, but they paused. They already spent that money, but they paused in actually building because the city said it might not be permanent. So they've been in this limbo, not knowing what's going to happen. And that's honestly terrible for the city has done that to this business, right? But keep in mind that from the businesses that are currently paying those parklets, and they would pay even more if they actually build out the parklets, they're actually contributing upwards of $45,000 to $50,000 a year to the city in revenue. And that's even with them not fully built out yet. So actually, in totality, it could be more later, right? That's revenue that goes to the city to reimburse costs. If you do the math, that means that the city, after a year, has already paid off almost half of its investment on the Walk on Wilshire space. And that doesn't include all the extra sales tax that we might have received from people coming to the space, from eating outside, from enjoying downtown Fullerton, from coming in, right? There's so many financial benefits to that space and further expanding it throughout downtown in other ways that aren't being taken into account. We have a city budget right now that has a major deficit. I think we're something like $9 million in the hole. And to take away a project, not only that, but spend money to remove a project that is actually bringing in money right now and paying for itself, basically, it's just financially irresponsible. And it's something that we also want to remind the city, because that's something that really hasn't been brought up as much, which is, this is already a project that has already been paid for. It's paying for itself and being paid off by these businesses. And by removing it, not only are you hurting the businesses, but you're going to cost the city more money and eliminate these extra revenue streams that the city has been receiving from these businesses. It truly doesn't make any financial sense.
Well, thank you for explaining that. My next question, well, actually, I do want to add a bit of context here. So you guys have alluded to City Council kind of being split on this. So the member that's recusing himself, that's going to be Mayor Nick Dunlap, and I have questioned him on this as well. And he did explain, you know, why he's doing that in one of the episodes. By the time hopefully this episode comes out, that all the City Council episodes are released, the people who are against it would be Fred Jung and Bruce Whitaker. And Fred Jung, the episode that I had with him, he also kind of explained why he's against it, citing, you know, some of the similar reasons that you guys have said here. And the folks that are for it, Emma Tsar and Dr. Shayla Charles. But what I'm now kind of thinking about, because if one person is recusing himself, two are for, two are against, that could easily lead to a tie vote. So when we think of what could happen in City Council, there's really three possibilities. First being that it does pass somehow, with either Nick Dunlap voting yes, or maybe somebody else having a change of mind voting yes, or it could be a tie, or it could be a no. In each of these cases, what do you kind of anticipate happening, and how would kind of the group's efforts change in the case of a yes vote, a tie, or a no vote?
It's something we've talked about. After all of the work we've put in, and after all of the positive feedback we've gotten from the public, it would be disappointing if Walk on Wilshire doesn't get extended and doesn't get made permanent. It would be very disappointing. It's not just the work that we've put in, though. I think what would be most disappointing about it would be if council were to vote against this, they would be disregarding the overwhelming support from the public. And I think that's what would be most disappointing about it. Like, the public really wants it. The public has tried to make their voice heard through our petition. At every city council meeting since July, we've had a dozen plus people commenting in support of Walk on Wilshire. And it's possible that at the upcoming vote, there will be many, many more. And I think that's what would be most disappointing, is that it would show that the city council doesn't support what the public wants. That's not something you want to see from your elected leaders. If it doesn't pass, if Walk on Wilshire is voted to be shut down and reopened to cars, I'm not sure, James, if you might have some thoughts about this, but what I'm thinking will happen is that the public will react to this very strongly. It'll probably galvanize people to get more involved, maybe advocate for changing the vote. It might get them to vote differently because the election is 3 weeks away. If the council makeup changes after the November election, maybe there's some possibility that a new council will be able to reinstate the walk on Wilshire. But all in all, if it were to close down, it would be very, very disappointing. I think our group would probably continue advocacy efforts to get it reinstated, however that might be possible.
I think that's absolutely right, Anjali. And I think we've talked through a lot of these possibilities, both privately, you know, as kind of friends and colleagues now, but then also we've been asked that question by some residents. You know, I think many folks, especially if they pay attention to city council meetings, were aware of the realities of what could happen. At the same time, there's a lot of silver linings and kind of exciting opportunities as a part of doing this. First of all, you know, and Anjali has been an amazing organizer in Fullerton for a long time now on other projects as well. But many of us who got involved in this weren't really tapped into what was going on in our city, myself included. And you know what? Something that we've learned even is people are actually really energized by this. And this has been a kind of a gateway for folks to paying more attention what's happening in their own government. A lot of the folks, as Anjali mentioned, we've had many folks turn up to public comment over the last several weeks at the city council meetings to express their personal support for the walk in Wilshire. Almost all of them, this is the first time they've ever gone to their city council to express how they feel, to pay attention and to really get involved. And that's something that won't go away with a no vote, with walk on Wilshire being removed. It also won't go away with the yes vote either, right? It's something where people are actually learning, oh, this is how I can get involved. These are my elected officials. This is how they're voting on things, even when they're really popular and folks don't want to get rid of them, right? And those are some things that I think we're carrying with us. The optimist in me and the hope that we see, you know, all the things that we've done, really, we hope that the council will vote on a yes vote. And if that's the case, then we're going to take our energy and continue to advocate for more walkable spaces, but also for the betterment and the improvement of the Walk on Wilshire space. We actually have been in touch. There's, you know, in the course of this advocacy, we actually got in touch with a architectural design firm based in LA who heard about the Walk on Wilshire being shut down and what we were doing. And they've actually volunteered on a pro bono to provide some design sketches and ideas for how this Walk on Wilshire space could be enhanced. That's how big this issue is and how important this is to people, you know, all over Southern California, is that, you know, somebody will actually volunteer their time to do that. And you can be assured that we are going to take that energy and continue to fight for it. Same thing with a no or a delay vote, right? As Anjali mentioned, you know, this is such a popular project that it's on people's minds. And I think that if folks hear that the city council has decided to get rid of it, that may indeed, as Anjali mentioned, impact how folks vote in the November election. We have three council seats up for re-election. And I don't think it would be surprising for folks, you know, especially in a tight race, to make a decision based off of these things. To date, we have not been political in that lens. We haven't, you know, endorsed any political candidates because we really are hoping that, you know, with all the things that we've gathered, hopefully we can really convince the city council to make the right decision. But, you know, folks are paying attention and they're going to pay attention, whether we say anything or not, to how people vote and how this decision is made. And I think people are going to be devastated if they, you know, show up one day to Wilshire and find out that it's a street again. That's how people, literally the faces of the people walking by. If you can imagine, you know, we were tabling and saying, hey, will you sign our petition? And people, you know, usually are like walking by, what is this? They're skeptical. And, you know, nobody wants to be sold something that they don't want to buy, right? But the moment we told them, hey, the city council might get rid of this space, the looks people had, it was just, how could they make this decision, right? And so we're really hoping that that carries through beyond any vote.
Yeah, this is a really unique issue. this is a really unique issue among all the issues that have come up, over the past few years in Fullerton. This is somehow, this has really piqued people's interest. I think you don't think of like a small 200 foot pedestrianized area as having an influence outside of the city that it's in, but this one has, and it's kind of amazing. And I think it speaks to how much people love this space, like how much people very much love this space. And it also speaks to, I think, our general need as a society for more walkable spaces. People are so motivated to protect this. I've never seen anything like it. We, like I said, this issue sold itself. We didn't have to convince anybody that we talked to. People came up to us. People approached us and said, what is happening? How can I help? What do I need to do? Can I volunteer with you guys? We actually have volunteers with our campaign who are putting in their own personal time to help save this. I think we definitely need more walkable spaces, starting with the walk on Wilshire. So it just speaks to that underlying need that we are so deprived of in our cities. I really hope that City Council will do the right thing and will listen to the wishes of its constituents. It's interesting. All of the pedestrianized spaces in our area have been shut down except for this. So all those spaces that turned pedestrianized, I don't like to use the word closed down because it's still open to pedestrian and bicyclists. It's just closed to cars. But all these spaces, Placentia, Orange, I can't remember if Anaheim had one, but Pasadena, you know, all these spaces have been, these pedestrianized spaces have been turned back into regular car roads, but we kept ours. And I think that's something to be really proud of.
Right. So it seems like the efforts will be ongoing regardless of the vote. And I also want to put the walk on Wilshire in the larger context of just walkability in Fullerton, which you guys have already touched upon. But, you know, what are kind of some of the other spaces that you hope can be pedestrianized? What are some of the other ways we can make the city more walkable and more accessible to people who don't have cars? And I think this also brings in, and I'm also kind of jumping a little bit here, but this also brings in the whole concept of third spaces, which I think Walk on Wilshire was serving for a lot of people. And just generally the idea of having healthier cities that are more walkable and more cost-effective. And, Fulton has its own history with horrible, horrible roads as well. So there's a lot of kind of different strings that Walk on Wilshire pulls on. And if you guys could elaborate a little bit more on that.
Yeah, I have so many thoughts. James, why don't you take this one? I'll organize my thoughts in the meantime.
I'll take a stab. Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, you put it really well that it's not just that this is like a walking space. And even then, the city council has sometimes framed it as this outdoor dining space just for businesses. And it kind of shows, wait, have you been out there? People are out there, even when there's not that much furniture, people are out there using the space. One night we were out there and there was a dance crew from Buena Park that was out there using it to film a music video and also just enjoying the space and hanging out with friends, right? It's kind of a safe area that really means a lot to people. I think something that, you know, we always talk about is, you know, there's actually a lot of research on this. And if you look at cities around the entire world, both the US, but also Europe, Asia, we find that the research shows that walkable spaces and walkable areas with mixed development, including, you know, both, you know, housing, like some of the apartment complexes downtown and some of the, you know, houses nearby, but also those businesses and being able to walk from store to store and go on a bar crawl or go thrift shopping in multiple places, right? That walkability is really good for the local economy. It's really good for promoting business. That there are studies shown from academic research that say that people who visit those type of walkable spaces spend more money than if they were to drive to one place, get into their car, and drive to the other side of the parking lot, right? People spend more time in those spaces. On top of that, there's also community and health and well-being benefits to it, to people hanging out outside in the spaces together, to being in a place that feels safe and open, right? You see a lot of children actually out in those spaces because it's safe. They're no longer confined to a small sidewalk or in danger of being struck by a car that's speeding by, right? In terms of the longer term vision for Fullerton, something that we've talked about is that, you know, Fullerton downtown, something that Anjali always has said is that Fullerton has good bones. And by that we mean is that the downtown area of Fullerton is really, it was designed for a time when people actually did walk often, right? Where people said, hey, we're going to go downtown to go shopping, to get our needs, to go eat dinner, to have a nice date night, right? And there's actually so much potential. Already, downtown is connected by multiple alleyways that serve as walking paths, right? And the city actually, the city government has actually officially brought this up in their planning meetings. I mentioned earlier that the Fox Theater renovation project north of Chapman, it's northeast of Chapman and Harbor, that redesign that the city has spent years on doing community engagement, doing planning, really involves creating walkable spaces. They are planning to shut down a street that is right next to where Angelo and Vinci's used to be to make it like a Walk on Wilshire type space with outdoor dining and seating. And in their plans for that, they specifically said that they wanted to connect the various alleyways throughout downtown Fullerton. The alleyways I'm talking about are like the ones that are actually, there's one connected to the Walk on Wilshire. It's next to Mulberry. It connects through past Zings, past multiple of those bars, past Brewco, past Made Coffee. And it's an alleyway that you'll see tons of people walking down, and that actually there is even outdoor seating for a coffee shop in that alleyway. Those alleyways connect all the way down to Commonwealth. There's another alleyway on the east side of Harbor, behind the hair salons, next to the, you know, the axe throwing, the Irish pub that goes all the way from Commonwealth. And the city's plan for that was that these network of alleys to create a whole walkable zone in Fullerton that's safe for pedestrians. And so knowing that the city has actually been working on this for years, that they literally designed the Fox Theater to be an extension of this, is all the more baffling why they would remove the Walk on Wilshire space, because it's really a major part of that right now and encourages people to visit all of the businesses downtown. And our vision really is to expand on those spaces. We want to see, and so do residents, they want to see more ways that they and their families can visit downtown, can walk downtown, and enjoy that space. And there are so many ways the city really should be investing in furniture, in better landscaping, in better cleaning, really ways to make it feel really nice, right? And other cities around the country are actually starting to do that more and more. And I think that's something that we really hope that the city will take seriously. And again, maybe this outcome, maybe all this advocacy is going to push toward that direction because the city has so much potential.
Oh, thank you, James.
Yeah, I there's not much more I could add to that. That was absolutely fantastic. I actually wasn't even aware of that network of pedestrian connectivity that you were referring to. So that's actually enlightening to me. So thank you. Which, yeah, just goes to show how important it is to keep this part of the network instead of getting rid of it. As you mentioned, like walkability, access for all, these are really important topics that are becoming increasingly talked about these days. Walkable cities, this is a hot topic nowadays. There's a lot of like emphasis on moving away from car dependency, especially among younger generations these days. It's a very hard concept for a lot of people who aren't familiar with it to grasp and get behind and support, but it's very important to younger people as a whole these days, I'm finding. And I think people are starting to question the way our cities have been built or rebuilt in order to accommodate car first infrastructure. I do a lot of bicycle advocacy in Fullerton, and one of the things I hear most commonly is, I would bike more if it were safer. It's not that people don't want to bike or walk, it's that it's not safe. And the same goes for walking places. So having dedicated pedestrianized zones is so important for allowing people to get out there. As you mentioned, also something interesting about third spaces. This is also really fascinating to me. You'll hear a lot of skepticism on this topic. Oh, what is the third space? Did this space ever really exist? But the walk on Wilshire has proven to me that it really is a real thing. And here's an example I love to give. The other day I was going around town and I was trying to find a place where I could just sit and read a book. That's all I wanted to do. I didn't want to go to a coffee shop. I didn't want to go to the library, which closes early. I didn't want to go to the Arboretum, which again closes early. I wanted to just go somewhere in the city and sit on a bench and read a book. And there was nothing. There were no places where I could just sit and for free read a book. The few benches that existed weren't covered by shade. They were out in the bright sun. And I thought this was so interesting. So like, where do you go to just sit and exist without being expected to pay money? There's very few places like that. When we're on the walk on Wilshire, because it's a place where people can just kind of like walk around and run into each other, we've seen so much. You see so much and you connect with people. The same thing goes for our farmers market downtown where they close off the road. And we have seen, like James mentioned, the K-pop dance crew. They were filming a music video. They came all the way from Buena Park. We've seen parents teaching their kids how to ride bikes. We've seen so many young people sitting and getting ice cream at Somi Somi, especially in like after dark. There's a busker who hangs out there, Zero. He's fantastic and he does stand-up comedy and music. And, you know, this is the kind of space where somebody can do that. And what I love about places like the Walk on Wilshire is like you go there and you run into people that you know. And I think It's easy to forget other people's humanity when we're in a car dependent city where everybody just like gets in their car and drives to Costco, loads up their cart and goes home. And I think it really robs us of our humanity when we're not interacting with people as closely. But you have pedestrianized spaces, you have walkable spaces, and now everybody's getting out of their cars and they're interacting with people they might not otherwise have interacted with. You know, so many people won't talk to their neighbors if they happen to see a certain yard sign for a political candidate. But when you're in a walkable area, you don't see that yard sign. You just see a person. And so you talk to them and it breaks down barriers. It breaks down this sort of default tribalistic mentality we have as humans where we put people in boxes. And I think it improves our sense of community and it decreases our sense of isolation and anger with each other just because we maybe have differences of opinion. And it sounds like I'm putting a lot on the shoulders of the Walk on Wilshire, but it really is important to start examining these spaces in the larger context of strengthening our community bonds instead of tearing us apart like car-dependent infrastructure tends to do. There's one last thing that you mentioned that was also really, really important. And you mentioned access for people who have mobility limitations, I believe. This kind of space is extremely important for those individuals as well. A lot of people like to say, well, you know, folks who have mobility limitations, they need to be able to get into their cars and drive, which is true in some circumstances. But in other circumstances, car-dependent infrastructure really isolates people who have mobility limitations because our pedestrian infrastructure next to car travel lanes is very, very poor. A lot of people have limitations where they can't drive for medical reasons, for other reasons. A lot of people are elderly and they don't feel safe driving anymore. And so I've met people who are elderly who are completely isolated in their homes and they cannot go anywhere unless there's somebody there to drive them. Whereas in other countries that have better pedestrian infrastructure, they could certainly be more independent. And they could retain their own sense of independence into older age and retain their own personal dignity. These things are very important. And I hear us as a society having these conversations more and more. I think they're very important. And again, I know this is a lot to put on the shoulders of the Walk on Wilshire, but we really have to be having these conversations to understand what the broader context of pedestrianized spaces are. It's not just a matter of, oh, I'm a business owner. I want to be able to park in front of my shop. Like when you have that kind of attitude, you are indirectly taking a stance that robs the community of its humanity and robs people with mobility limitations and people who can't drive of their dignity. And so you really have to think of it in that context. How are these spaces benefiting people who are not you and who are different from you?
Understood. Thank you. This has been such an enlightening conversation, not just about walk of wheelchair, but also about walkability and accessibility. And kind of creating more walkability in the entire city in general and what the residents really want. So I want to ask both of you, how can our listeners get involved with Save WOW? And how can they help make Fullerton a more walkable city?
Well, James, since you've been heading off the volunteer branch, would you like to take this one?
Sure. I think the biggest thing they can do in the short term is to really attend that city council meeting on Tuesday, October 15th. The city council, these meetings happen every other Tuesday at City Hall, and the city council will actually officially voting on the walk on Wilshire at that meeting. And it is really, really important for folks who often don't get tapped in local government. It is actually really important for folks to show up to these meetings to hear what the council is saying, to see why they're making the decisions they do. And they'll be voting. And so as you mentioned, it's a pretty close vote. And I think that we're hoping that as many folks who are supportive, and even folks who have other opinions and want to, you know, bring them, you know, we're hoping folks will turn out to that meeting and to share their feedback so that the council can make their decision carefully. And so that is upcoming. It's, you know, about a week away. It's October 15th. 5:30 p.m. at City Hall. And the other thing they can do is to continue to attend those meetings. A lot of folks aren't aware that those city council meetings are actually where a lot of decisions about our city, about other projects, our parks, our libraries, even street paving, that's where a lot of those things happen, and people can pay attention to that. If folks haven't already, they can also sign our petition, and we'll share information with them, including about important upcoming decisions and votes. And we can also answer any questions they have. And I think the other thing they can do is really to reach out to their city council members. A lot of folks may not realize, you know, we live in a relatively medium-sized city, and we have representatives, for each of our five city districts. And if you live in Fullerton, and even if you're a visitor, you can email your city council members, you can email all five of them if you like, to share how you feel, both about this issue, but any other issue impacting our community. And you'll actually get responses. We have a small enough city, and you know, we're a small enough place that actually, you know, when I wrote to the city council members, they also gave, personal responses, and even sometimes we'll agree to meet. And so those are ways that folks can get involved in their local community. And again, we really, really care about this specific project, but we're also hoping that that energy and that kind of civic engagement can continue, because that will only make our democracy in Fullerton stronger, and also help to ensure that we are holding our elected officials accountable to the decisions they're making, and really giving them more information from residents to help them make the right decisions.
Thank you, James. So the city council meeting on October 15th is the one that people should be looking forward to. What is, you know, perhaps a contact email, maybe social media handle or a phone number, so people can directly contact the group if they're interested in learning more, or if they have, you know, more ideas of walkability in Fullerton, how to increase that, you know, how can they reach your group specifically?
You can email us at savewalkonwilshire@gmail.com. And also we're on social media. We're on Instagram by the same handle, Save Walk on Wilshire. And then we also have a group on Facebook called Save WOW. And it's really easy to get a hold of us through any of those channels. I'm not sure if this podcast will be out, but just in case, I'll put a plug for our event going on tomorrow, October 5th, from 2 to 6 p.m. It's called Chalk on Wilshire. It's a Pokemon Go themed event in which anyone, doesn't have to be a Pokemon Go player, can attend for free, draw chalk art on the walk on Wilshire. We'll have vendors, we'll have games, we'll have music. It's going to be a great event, and we're trying to showcase what this space looks like fully activated. Like James said, we are encouraging anybody who wishes to do so to go to the city council meeting on October 15th at 5:30 to give their voice about how they feel about the walk on Wilshire. I think that's going to be one of the most impactful things anyone can do. I know it's kind of scary to give public comment at a city council meeting, but you know, we can certainly help. A lot of people are there to help, and make sure that people feel comfortable. We also are taking care to emphasize, we've heard that there might be some talk of trying to make this space seasonal only. The details of that have not been explained, but seasonal could mean anything. It could be just a couple of days a year. It could be, you know, for just a couple of months. It's not clear. So we are advocating for making it permanent and for making it year round and for keeping it fully pedestrianized, not adding any kind of car egress through the space, because it would fundamentally change the way the space is used. So yeah, October 15th is the big day. That's going to be the vote at City Council at 5:30 p.m.
Well, thank you, Anjali and James. And just as a closer, I would also want our listeners to know that City Council, Planning Commission, Parks and Rec, Infrastructure and Natural Resources Committee, Transportation Committee, and honestly, many other committees and commissions are the ones who go ahead and make the decisions for what our streets, what our parks, what our recreational activities, and so much more in our city is going to look like. So beyond City Council, if people are not available, say, on those Tuesdays, 5:30 p.m., they can also get involved in all of these other committees and commissions that have a similar and just as important kind of roles and responsibilities in determining what's going on in our city. So that civic engagement is absolutely necessary when trying to change anything or trying to better anything in the community. I want to thank you, James and Anjali, for being on the show today and for explaining all of the efforts that your group has been putting into Walk on Wilshire and increasing walkability in Fullerton.
Thank you so much for having us. Thanks for everything you do to keep Fullerton informed of what's going on. Really appreciate your time and interest.
Yes, thank you so much.
Well, you're very welcome. So that was the Slice of Orange NOC podcast for today. We'll have all the information about Save WOW in our show notes, so you are welcome to check those out to get more information and contact the group if needed. Thank you, and I hope you all have a great day.